Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling, all right? So make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you gotta get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off with the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths, that's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Yeah. Okay, so no more of that with the Beard Hedger. It comes with titanium-coated T-blades that are tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging all the time. And next to kit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Start with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, that's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's kind of like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal.
orgullosamente latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang.
We be thumping.
Bang, 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 bang.
Just act like you know and homie, stop rocking.
Don't be stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787 and those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Checkered up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy Kato, man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, you'll get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
We be dropping.
Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
Just act like you know.
Did you guys see the Raw reunion last night?
I did.
Yeah, I actually spent the time and watched the whole thing.
Okay, so do you just want to go overall, or do you want to go by segment?
No, there's nothing to go overall. Because, like, for overall, the show's specific purpose was just to do reunion.
Right.
Okay, and so right off the bat, I'm going to tell you I was disappointed. Like, here's the thing. Everybody in the WWE now, with the new creative changes, okay, the key word is changes. So people are looking for things to change, right? Because there's obviously things that people are upset with the way the show's being, you know. Well, for whatever gripes they have about the show. Okay, but most of the gripes are about the booking, blah, blah, blah. When you have all these people back, you're doing it specifically to try and pop a rating. Okay, so the key is you want to pop a rating so you can get – so you have a bunch of eyeballs on the product that you can get people to, like, forward, you know, like a storyline so they'll watch next week. And it's like I'm watching the show and it's like, at what point did they, you know, with Mick Foley and
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, they did. But that's not really a spot where you look at, what's forwarding next week. He did the exact same spot last week. He just did this week to Mick Foley.
Yeah. And Mick can't wrestle.
So it's like nothing happened on the show to make me to use these guys as a tool to get people over. They had all these guys in the show and they had Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman out there just doing a squash match against a nobody.
Yeah. And it's kind of.
And I'm like, okay, so here's my take is that you got to, since there's changes, I'm looking for change. I'm looking for things to change. And you have to get my attention, right? But tell me if you guys don't feel the same way I do is that when I'm watching the show, your show is still treating me like I'm a kid. Like the conversations of the show are very childish. Like the tone of the show is still very childish and like kind of geared towards kids. Until you start making it to where, like, I mean, I'm an adult, and like, until I want to, like, you know, want to get engaged in something, like, if you're not going to give me things to get engaged in as an adult, I'm not buying you yet. That's the way I feel when I'm watching the show. What about you guys?
Well, they did have R-Truth steal Drake Maverick's wife, so I can that could get a little adult.
But it's kind of weird what they do. It's like they're not. It's like that. That's like out of the box.
Yeah, was comedy and it was stupid at that. That's like nothing that you're like, oh wow, he took his wife.
Well, it's
like, there's actually a thing in the I'll give you an example. Impact actually taped something, probably hasn't even come out yet, but a certain character said something about a certain character on the show who's married and everybody knows who his wife is. And he goes, I'm going to get him back by banging his wife. And the other character goes, what? You know, they're
right.
Not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And something's going to happen there. Right.
Right.
But that's good.
A guy that's been comedy. A lot of it was bad comedy at that. And there's nothing worse than bad comedy. I know it's all silly fun 24/7, but some of it was just so stupid. No effort was even made. You know, Pat Patterson. Now, I was reading this thing where they were saying that they were having a lot of problems because a lot of wrestlers were physically unable to do shit and they couldn't get cleared medically.
Right.
Right.
So,
which is probably for best because they all looked really old.
For example, when you see Pat Patterson laying on the ground and Briscoe takes the belt, but you didn't see them do anything physical, that's probably one example. And some people were saying
some other things with the women, it was just kind of stupid, just the way they did. It was just really stupid, but it was all – that's a hokey thing. Anyways, to me, it's – me personally, maybe it's already past its expiration date. I've seen a little bit too much of it. It's still funny at some time, but yesterday was too much of it and I didn't like it. But going back to your point, Disco, you know, like, bro, that promo that Seth did buried him so bad. There's horrible. No time you can find. Maybe when I was in the Dungeon of Doom, because I just broke into WCW and I didn't want to shake the waters. But other than that, you're never going to find no time in my career where I uttered stupidity like that, where it just buries you. You know,
right.
You know, Brock, blah, 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 and then, you know, running and Polly running away. There's no way Polly wrote this show. Zero way. And so anyways, but, you know, they've done everything like they were saying. I was reading this thing now that I came back off the road. I've been reading up and then I read this thing, which I think Joe sent us, where they were saying this thing about, you know, Vince. I was saying that one of the reasons the show isn't doing good is because there was this superstar absence. And then the article was actually saying that the only guy that had really been absent for a long period of time was Bray Wyatt. And, you know, they brought in Heyman and Bishop. They did that wild card emergency thing. And they brought Brock back. They brought Taker back. You know, and it just seems, and we're supposed to be seeing these changes. I see no changes whatsoever. And somebody actually wrote this to me. This is a very good source. And this, because I said, there's no way Paulie wrote that show, which he probably didn't, but he put, he goes, Paul and Eric aren't actually doing anything. Neither is Bruce. They're replacing the writers and being used as propaganda for old time viewers. Vince is still writing it. Mm. Won't give it up until he dies. That's kind of what it looked like to me.
Absolutely.
And I also think, like, I was reading this thing where Eric Bischoff was saying, no, I'm not coming back and taking total control. It's a process. Nobody can just come back. Same thing happened to me when I came back to AAA. They did not give me total control. It was by stages. Plus, they also thought that I was going to leave again. And I'm wondering, right. Well, then why did you hire me if you thought I was going to leave? And so they wouldn't give me control. And I have maybe like 80% control, which is a lot. And still there's shit that I have to still get authority to do. Or sometimes they're like, you're going to do this, and this is the way it's going to be, and you got to do it, you know? So I don't know how much Eric and Paulie, how much power they're going to have, and I would think that Paulie, knowing that his name is behind this and his reputation is behind, is going to fight, you know, Vince for some autonomy, but it just seems like it's the same bullshit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here's another thing that pisses me off. One more thing that I want to say. Bro, here's the other thing. You always see the same fucking legends returning. It's always DX and NWO. How many times are they going to return? It's not even a surprise anymore. It's not even cool when they come out anymore. It's more like, really, again?
Yeah.
It's Ron Simmons. It's always the same people.
Slaughter.
Yeah, shows like that, they're throwaways to me. They're like doing entertainment. Like, I'm still like going forward with this product. I'm still giving it a chance because like the last couple weeks – the show seemed a little bit different to me. This show was kind of like a different type of show because they had all the people coming back. So I'm not going to judge it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They had 3 hours to get you interested in some feuds, and they really didn't.
That's my gripe.
Okay.
I thought it would be different if they did that this time.
Want me to tell you a little pet peeve of me that got heat with me?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, did you see what – and I don't know, maybe he's worn this before – did you see what Ted DiBiase was wearing?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was wearing a black jacket, and it looked like some kid from second grade arts and craft pasted on with old Elmer's glue a dollar symbol right here on each lapel.
Yeah.
What happened to his sweet gold jacket that he used to wear? I mean, he didn't even – you know what I'm saying? It was that
– plus
that
some
pissed
of the,
me off. That was – that pissed me
funny
off.
Thing, that looked bad. That is funny.
It looked real bad.
Also, there was two scenes – that looks so contrived where they're supposed to be having a party in the back, right? There's zero music and the girls are dancing to, what are you dancing to? There's no music. Everybody's trying to pretend they're having a good time. It looks so stage phony and ridiculous. I will say this. I thought Sami Zayn continues to cut killer promos.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, another thing about Rollins that was a really tough spot was, and maybe it was some more backlash from the original promo you're talking about that was very, very, very bad. Almost as bad as, you remember the Roman Reigns one where he did like the Jack and the Beanstalk thing? He was going to wrestle Big Show. His promo was on that level where I think in a couple of years people are going to go, remember that? Jesus Christ. But when he
it's like, come on. At that, I know that you're all very rich and you're all making money and everybody's happy. But, bro, look, I mean, obviously they did good numbers because I just saw the numbers because nostalgia will pop. And, you know, when you see Hogan and Nash and all these guys are coming back, you want to see it. But now what you did is you disappointed a very big audience, you know. But I just can't understand why Seth isn't saying, hey, man, I'm not going to say that. It's bad enough he has kind of like a wimpy voice.
Yeah.
Then he's fucking giving JoJo shit. Yeah. You know, it's like trash.
And if you noticed when
he wants to be a Brock Lesnar wannabe.
Yeah.
Who the fuck? Can you, not even you believe that.
Yeah. And when they gave him the mic to do the We Got Two Words For You, you could hear the murmuring and the kind of booing starting in the crowd, like, ugh, like that people know when they're getting pandered to.
Bro, there was no real huge pops for the legends. The only guy that really got a huge pop was like Hogan and Austin.
Yeah. The other thing I
that
did,
was a great speech, by the way. I like that speech.
Well, let's talk about this in context. You know, is like this is the thing. Like we had a discussion earlier in the show where we're talking about how, you know, AEW now is in a position to promote against, you know, the WWE, right? And how the WWE is treating them from a promotion standpoint. And it like remember we talked about it, it gets you to feel like that they have no, that like AEW has no chance against these guys because they're like old school, you know, smart.
Right.
And then they come out and then they have a chance. And like, and they do this show and it's like, you know, but well, boy, AEW does have a chance.
Well, not
you
just know? That. The show, not
like,
just that.
Right? So it's like
not
you
just
like.
That. Here's the other thing. I'm going to give you three names. Look at the promos Jericho's been cutting over there. Look at the promos MJF has been cutting over there. And look at that great promo Cody cut on his brother.
Right. So here's the thing.
Moxley.
Think,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I go, I'm going to our YouTube page. And QG posted a clip of when we had that discussion about the politics of the AEW versus the WWE. And Mike Feegan, that guy that talked about this guy, Mike Feegan, one of the things, he had a comment about you.
Wait. Who was that?
He's like
the guy. He's one of the posters in the comment section of the YouTube page.
All right.
Mike Feegan says it's very sad and disheartening to hear that Conan, a person of color, would not fully support AEW, a company that strives and fights to promote people of color and members of the LGBT community.
Who said I didn't support them? We work with them. We work with them. You jackass. I don't have to support anything. Look.
Conan, let me respond to a guy that trolls every video.
Every post is like an SJW post from Mike Feegan.
Right. That's like every one of his posts is like that. You know, like whatever the subject matter is, it somehow has to do with like your insensitivity. But this is what. But Joe Troller did have an interesting comment here,
Christ.
And I want to say that. And this is like a good point going forward. Is like you said, you look at WWE. You listen to their top guys in the promos that they're scripted for them, and you're like, what the F are these guys talking about? You go over to AEW, and you look at the promos that Jericho's cutting, MJF is cutting, you know, Cody's cutting. So Joe Troller has a good point, though. So in the picture on the video that Hughie posted, he posts a picture of Cody and the Bucks, okay, with the big AEW center around him. Cody's just in there holding the Bucks. And Joe Troller says, just look at these three guys. So, talking about Cody and the Bucks with capital letters in the word look. And who's WWE got? Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Who you going to watch? AEW stinks and you're all marks. Okay, that's your troll of the AEW stinks. But to me, that hits the nail on the head because Vince does have all the big guys. And you would think that should be the focus of the show. We have these big guys and we're going to promote big guy violence. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the AEW is promoting, you know, the artistry of wrestling. These guys working, they're more undersized, but we got the big boys here. And but the theme of the show is what? Kids. You know, let's make it for the kids.
Right,
like, let's change the tone of the show. Well, we got some big guys here and we're going to have some violence. There's going to be some fighting, you know? That's where I think they should be going on, but they're not, you know?
Right. So at the end of the day, who cares who you have if your show sucks and you're not using them properly? You know what I'm saying? So many people are miscast, misused. Bro, we could go down the line.
Think about this. Is that you've got Brock Lesnar as your champion, okay? you've got Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley,
Drew McIntyre,
Drew McIntyre, Bray Wyatt. Who's another big guy? You're getting all these big guys, Roman, right? And the focus of your show is the relationship between Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. And like, you think that's like if you think that's the money to drive your product as opposed to focused on those big ass motherfuckers,
I think
like, what do you think is going to draw people to watch your show? You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, like, am I wrong?
I think they're searching for answers. They're not sure. They're like, okay, Becky got over and Seth is, we push him as one of our top guys. They're together. Maybe that's something people want to see. You know, they're trying to figure it out. That's not it. 1,000%.
You get these big guys that you're diminishing and making them look like all the other undersized guys you have on the show. And you're booking like, start booking your big guys as big guys. That's right. What stands out from the other stuff. You know, it's like they're the only company that has big guys. Luchasaurus is the biggest guy in what you call it. And that Ace, who's that big fat guy they got
Ace,
over there?
Ace Romero.
AC baby.
He's been in their battle royals.
But he works like a cruiserweight, though, the guy, right? Yeah, he dies. Yeah. Is that right? Right. So you don't have these, anything like a threatening-looking, badass, big guy, like, you know, like that could fight Brock. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, because like I was thinking, brother said, plus it's the way the guys work today, too. Remember how Booker worked? You know, Booker worked very snug, like very believable, threw a good punch and everything.
Yeah,
it's like
great punch.
Booker T, like, works like a guy that looks like if he got in a fight with Brock, they may go toe-to-toe. You know, real
fight. Not just that. And just like when I was watching Samoa Joe and Roman, right? Like, when they did the promo, like, fuck, this is going to be good. And then the match really wasn't that good. There wasn't that physicality that two guys should really be mad. Or, like, even when the Monster came out, Bray Wyatt, I was like, bro, why didn't he just drag him around and leave him laying in a pool of his blood and just really fucking violent? Or we walk into a fucking dress. If you don't want to show violence, then let's walk into a dressing room and they're fucking, hey, you know, the paramedics are there. There's blood splattered on the wall. There's shit that's broken. People laying around. And they're like, we think he broke his neck. You know what I'm saying? And really make it violent. You know, he just did the mandible claw and it got no real pop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And plus, too, like you watch Impact, it's like they know how to book heat and violence.
Right.
You know, that's good. Like, that's good. They're booking heat and violence. It's like there's no heat. There's no violence on the show. There's no, like, and you got all these big guys. You know, you used to book violence and you got away from it. Now you're booking, you know, you're booking the man's man. And I'm like, come on, guys. It's like there's some people that are ready to, like, give you guys a chance if you give them what they want. But they're going to just start watching AEW. Of it when it comes down to it, and you got to start saying, "Hey, we're definitely a better alternative to these guys." Because look, we got the big boys here. You know, remember, bro? What was the thing when WCW started? Where the big boys play?
Yeah,
you know, we had all these big guys and everything. What happened? We eventually overtook them in the ratings because we did have all the big boys. You had Hogan and, you know, Nash and Giant. Like, we had a physically
savage Flair.
You know, their biggest guys were Shawn and Bret and Austin and Undertaker and Kane. You know, but the rest of the guys were just all basically the same size, you know?
And not only that, you had a super cool concept, which was the NWO. They don't have anything super cool.
Nothing super cool. It's embarrassing. Like, it's like you would – here's the thing. Stuff that you want to try to promote is cool, you're looking at the people in the crowd, you're like, going, I don't even think these people would like this stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest. Stuff that we like – and the wrestling fan today likes are two completely different things.
No.
But there still is a market for stuff that we like. You know what I'm saying? And they're not really giving us that much, you know? So,
well, we're not that far off because
– Yeah.
Well, where do you go to either one of you guys if you could look it up right now real quick? Like your one or two go-to sites for like wrestling reviews. Tell me what was the final review, if it's a grade or a number or even a comment from yesterday's show. I just want to see what people that you guys, you know, read said. You don't have to say the site if you don't want to, but
I don't even know.
I got Jason Powell. I had Jason Powell's review open anyway because I was going to kind of look through.
Go to rate Raw. Go to the next link. They rate the show, so you can like vote and rate. So go see what the response is for that.
Give me the response and then what Jason said.
And he writes a fucking detailed review.
Well, just read the end.
Just the recap.
Yeah.
Was this a series finale? It was fun to see the legends again, and Austin did a good job, and the crowd loved him. So while this was a fun reunion, I can't help but feel disappointed that WWE didn't do a big angle or anything to really hook returning viewers to keep them watching. It's another missed opportunity. in that regard. So keep that in mind. If they do a big rating for the show and things go back to normal quickly, I will have more to say in my weekly Same Night Audio review of Raw coming up tonight exclusively for .net members.
That's kind of like what we said.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So what
yeah.
do the what did the fans say in that poll or whatever?
I'm voting. I'm going on this vote thing. I voted disappointing show. They have right. A is great show, B is good show, C is average show, D is disappointing show, F is awful show. I'm voting. All right. And the results are, let's see the results. Disappointing, 66%. Disappointing was 30%. Good show, 25%. Average show, 19%. And a great show, 12%. Awful show, 14%. So basically kind of like.
I'd like to meet the 12% that thought that was a great show.
Yeah.
Well, I think we know who they are. 70,
they're probably like 10 years or less.
Obviously somebody that's a fan of Stone Cold in Austin.
Yeah.
Or they're 10 years old.
Right.
Let me ask you guys before we move on, though. What did you think of the Becky Lynch and Natalya stuff?
It's all right.
Yeah.
Why is this hashtagging today? Hashtag give WWE women a chance.
I guess they weren't on the show enough last night.
They weren't on the show enough.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah,
so wait a minute. So,
what's the hashtag?
The hashtag's give
Twitter today.
Yeah. Give WWE women a chance. So
They've been giving you a chance for the last 2 years. They've been putting you in spots that you don't even fucking deserve.
Yeah.
I'm all for women's rights, liberation. I do the same shit in AAA, but the women on my show, they have to earn their spot. They're not going to get it because there's some fucking women's movement going on.
Right.
Bottom line. All right.
They're under the same prism as every other person in the show.
And
if you go out there, perform, and get the people.
Right.
I'm going to
tell you something.
You know?
I'm going to tell you something. The girls in WrestleMania, Ivan, Triple Mania this year may just steal the whole fucking show. That's how good they are. Nice. But anyways,
here's the funniest thing, though. Here's the funniest thing. This is where I love where you look at your audience and realize you're like, you got this social justice mob is part of your audience. And like, okay. Bro, what was everybody saying last week? Okay. First of all, here's how the dichotomy went last week. The crowd at the show is chanting, "This is awful" at the women. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're booing them out of the building.
The Alexa Bliss match. Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting booed out of the building. All right. This week, they listened to the fans and they pulled back on the women because last week it was kind of had a lot of negativity towards the performers. So they didn't put quite as much on the show this week, right?
Yeah.
So now what are the social justice warriors doing?
Right.
There's not enough women on the show. Wait a second. You guys are complaining about how they performed last week. Now, we took them off, stuff. Now you're complaining they weren't on enough?
Was there a single women's
that's
match?
That's what's saying about these wrestling fans is trying to navigate. The thing you have to understand about them is they just make no freaking sense. There's not a lot of sense and a lot of logic to how they react. And it's not consistent. And it's all over the map. And it's like, you want to listen to the fans, but it's like, fans, you guys are just all over the map now. It's like, I don't know how do we listen to you if you're like, you give us all these mixed signals?
And let me just say this. There are, as we all know, there are some good wrestlers there, whether it's Natalya or Becky or Charlotte or Bayley or even Sasha. But there's a lot of girls that are not ready and shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they should not be on the main roster. And so you can't get – and it's funny because finally we've seen for the first time ever WWE acquiescing and even in a way bending to the fans' whims, okay? And they're still now trying to bully them into, okay, we want more of this, more of this.
Right.
You know? And you can't listen to that vocal minority. You just can't.
No.
So what did you think about the woman's thing, Joe, the Natalya and Alexa Bliss and –
Well, I thought Natalya and Becky had a good back and forth, and the brawl looked good, too. You know, it actually, I was like, all right, now I want to see this match, because you think, oh, they're using Natalya again in the spot, but they kind of won me over in that segment, you know.
Well, because she had an edge to her, and she, I think at the end she even called her a bitch or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And then, but I've heard on
and
the,
I liked, and I did kind of like the thing where she goes, well, you know, you've been against me. You were training the girl that I took this belt from.
Yeah,
you know,
that
have
good.
A little, that did have some logic to it.
Yeah.
And I think Alexa Bliss is money on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people react like it too. You know, when she comes out for the segment, she's just doing that moment of bliss, you know, people pop for it. So,
okay. Be truthful with us. Were you wearing any red and yellow when Hogan came out, including the pom poms or whatever he wears around his neck, the boa?
No, I wasn't.
All right. Just want to make sure. Just a disappointing show, bro. It's sad to watch. you know, it's just sad to see like Nash and Hall, two of the most charismatic, most over guys I've ever met. If you meet them in person, they're just as fucking, you know, nothing, bro. They were just there doing nothing, just standing
very excited,
there,
right?
Doing nothing. Yeah. You know, doing the Wolfpack, I was like very sad. You know?
Well, here's one thing before we move on.
And here's another thing that I was thinking. Was Flair very drunk? Were they running low on time, or does he slur his words? Because if you notice, they didn't even give him the mic.
You know what I thought? That's interesting. When he got out of the limo, he had a damn, it looked like a cut on his head that like they maybe they did and covered up because he was going to bleed later. Like, I totally spotted it. I'm like, are they going to fucking go with blood? And then they just didn't do anything. I was like, okay, maybe I, you know, maybe that's not what I saw, but I did notice that. And what do you call it? The other thing was, I don't know if you guys knew this or read it yet, but the Seth Rollins thing that we were talking about, the awkward DX promo, that was actually supposed to be Ricochet, which would have worked probably a whole lot better because the crowd's behind him
so
a little bit more.
Wait, so what
No,
happened?
It probably wouldn't have worked a whole
you
lot better because Ricochet, who I love to death and one of the most talented guys I've ever seen, is not good on the mic.
But if all he had to do was, we got two words for you, I think the crowd would have.
Oh, if that's what he had to do, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And but he has some kind
He's
of issue with his.
A charismatic guy, bro. Good-looking kid. That guy's money, too. They've kind of dropped the ball on him.
But he had an elbow issue or injury that they took him off the show due to that. So
that doesn't stop him from talking, right?
Well, he would have had to have the match with AJ first because it was Rollins, AJ, and then the whole thing. So,
okay. Yeah. Bro, what did that do for the OC? Like, I don't understand, bro.
No. Bad.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements and you. Our faithful K100 fans have been proving it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout-out to Jay, and huge congrats on your awesome progress, and shout-out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100. That's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com. Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So, been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff and make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case that of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling it, like, we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're... I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's kind of like, yeah. So we're helping... We're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you think
they
about
appreciate that.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Quick question. Are you guys ready for the world infamous disco list?
I'm ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Not a fan of you taking Lord Cyrus out, but we'll start with the Canadian contingency. Lance Storm.
On the list. Are you serious for a minute?
Yeah.
Lance Storm is on the list.
Lance Storm's on the list. You still confess or contest that he's a snowflake, correct?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? I think he's...
evolving?
No. I think because he has a school... And, you know, he trains girls and guys and stuff and everything like that. I don't think he wants to offend anybody to try to like kind of to market his brand and make people think like, you know, like that anybody, regardless of your political leanings or sexual orientation, whatever it is. Right? You feel comfortable going to Lance Storm School. You know what I'm saying?
Like he's put him under this moniker, Foss Snowflakery.
No, I just think he's, you know, he looks like the type of like a Leave It to Beaver dad. Right. You know what I'm saying? You would think he'd be like kind of like your old school like that and stuff and all right. that. But he's kind of like just, I guess he's like pandering to the new school millennials, you know?
Right. You're not a fan of that?
No.
Okay. Paul Security to the Stars, Lazenby.
Jericho's hired goon.
An author.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say, Joe?
An author. He's an author, too, of two books.
He's a goon, first and foremost. And he wrote a book about being a goon. So
I was a bouncer.
I'm surprised he hasn't reached out to you so you can tell him all your infamous bar stories of pulling out guys' eyes, Marines, and shit like that.
I might be in the third book.
Scott Tuggles, D.M. Moore.
Still on the list. Still Tuggles. Still pulls out his shorts a lot. And still tries to claim came up with a match that did not exist, that the swing of the mind. You know, honestly, think about this. Is that the fake news that he tried to forward in this whole narrative is that there was an actual match where guys were swinging from vines, right?
Yeah, the crazy eight.
Very curiously, did you notice a lot of the guys that were in that match were guys that wrestled at Big City Wrestling in Windsor? You know, that had wrestled for him, that Detroit area, Jimmy Jacobs,
Sanjay Dutt,
all those guys, everything. Did you think that maybe he is the one that actually came up with the idea for that match and tried to actually slander my name by making it sound like and totally deflect the attention and deflect it towards me and try to make it sound like it was me? Do you think he might have done that?
I think that's an idiot idea and it came from you 100% unfiltered, untouched by anybody. How about Chris, I live in a gigantic mansion. I need a forklift to move my fish tank, Jericho.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the list. Yeah.
Did you see this tweet? This could be an additional thing on the list here. There's a tweet here today. I won't give the guy's name because I'm sure people are already reading it. But it says...
Well, why don't you?
Okay, Jason Leto.
There you go. Who's that?
It says. Well, listen.
Zeb, wait a minute. You didn't want to give out his name for what reason?
Well, because then people might look him up on Twitter. I don't know.
Except Jason Leto.
And so it says, at I Am Jericho, I got my wife pregnant on your first cruise, and she's in labor right now, the gift of Jericho. So now Jericho is responsible for the Jericho fans even spawning, you know, and having kids and whatnot. So thank you to the cruise.
Wait, what now? Read that.
This guy knocked up his wife on the Jericho cruise, and she was in labor as he sent the tweet yesterday or today. And he said, the gift of Jericho.
Have with you, D.I.
Well, when was the Jericho cruise?
The one you didn't go on. He
October.
Impregnated her there.
That's
and now
9 months.
Having the baby now.
Oh, it's been 9 months.
Yeah. Almost exactly. Congratulations,
well, maybe
Jason.
Maybe he thinks he's the one that impregnated her, but that was a cruise.
Mm.
That guy thinks he's the one that did the business, but it's a cruise.
That's below the belt.
Somebody else's cabin. He's like bragging about it.
Right? What was that movie? I forgot the movie. It was pretty popular where the guy had a baby with this girl, and the baby was black, and he still thought it was his.
Me, Myself, and Irene. Jim Carrey.
Man.
Yeah.
Imagine the kid coming out like Oriental or something.
She had triplets.
Asian.
Yeah, and so he had three black sons.
How tremendous was that?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Did that pop you or no?
It popped me, yes.
Yeah. all-around good guy, Hall of Famer, K-100 Hall of Famer at that, ex-New York Ranger, Ted Irvine.
He's still on the list.
Reason?
For calling me a twerp, a wimp, and a punk in a public forum on a promo on the Jericho Cruise, and also on a drop that he did on this show, too, which was very disrespectful.
I like to say that those were fighting words at the turn of the century.
Absolutely.
Let me see. Rebecca Evers, who threw shade on you on Twitter and happens to be Lance Storm's daughter.
She's on the list for that, for sure. For throwing the shade on Twitter, yeah.
The North Carolina contingency, Matt Hardy, Jeff Maxell, Wolfgang, the unborn baby, Rebby, Senor Benjamin, and Shane Helms.
All those rednecks are still on the list. You know, and also, too, I did you see the exchange between Matt Hardy and Rebby Hardy?
No.
On Twitter. Did you see that?
No.
Okay.
Any chance you read this?
Yeah, I'm going to read it right here. Let me get it here. He tweeted, bro, this guy tweets so much. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is, you know, this is too much. He tweets.
Well, he uses it probably as a marketing tool. There's a, there's a GIF, I guess. Of, have you seen this one? And it says Sugar Shane. It has RVD.
Yeah.
It has Kurt Angle and Sergeant Slaughter walking down the ramp, right?
Right.
And it says, when you buy the Avengers DVD from the Dollar Tree. That's tremendous.
So here's a tweet. The vessel of Matt Hardy tweeted, water is very therapeutic. And then Rebby Hardy tweeted in response to that, that dick is therapeutic. Okay?
Right.
So I want to publicly on this show, okay, say that if the Matt Hardy brand dick is therapeutic, then Conan confided in me earlier that he does have hemorrhoids. And he would like to see if you could cure it, cure his hemorrhoids with that. So,
that's what? A,
that's over the line.
That was brutal.
That's terrible.
That's brutal. That's raw.
If Matt Hardy's dick is therapeutic, then he's using it to cure your hemorrhoids.
Jesus.
That's brutal. Jimmy Jacobs, blue fingernails and purple toenails.
Whether they were orange, blue, or aqua.
Or if he had hemorrhoids.
Yeah, if he had hemorrhoids, they're still on the list.
Still on the list. Mark Madden, who refers to you as a cheapskate and bugle beak.
The super
Mark
genius.
Mark Madden, he's back on Twitter. I don't know why they let him back in. He's on the list, and he also tweeted about the give WWE women a chance. He said that was ridiculous, too. They've been given a lot. I tweeted that. Did everybody forget the main event of WrestleMania? I mean, come on! It's not like they're not being given. They've been given the ultimate of all the chances. They've been given every chance in the world, right? Right. So they're holding them back. It's like they made a bit of WrestleMania.
Right, they're getting the best push ever, all of them, and then the ones that you know they're doing. I don't think they're being underutilized 1,000%. Vince Russo, Vince's singing, and Vince's Twitter followers.
And as well, what else? There's something else on that.
And his paintings.
Yeah, they're all on the list. They're all pathetic.
Any drama going on over there?
I'll find out tomorrow when I do the show.
How about you, Joe? You're more on that. You're usually up on that.
I haven't heard anything. Well, he tweeted something that his numbers on Truth Without Consequences are going down, but he claims that he's not in podcasting for numbers. He's in podcasting to entertain the people. So. Doesn't seem to bother him none.
Then do it for free. That's the conspiracy horseman.
Stevie Richards, Ben Heyman, Papa Don, and Big Sal.
Yeah,
is that who it is?
Big Sally Graziano. Yeah,
yeah. They're on the list. They're on the list.
These are the guys that believe the Earth's flat, correct?
They think the Earth is flat. The moon is square. I don't know. Who knows what these guys are? You know.
Don't forget Stevie Richards thinks that Russian Vids is an excellent news source, too.
Yeah, excellent news source, too. Yeah.
Pat Simon Diamond, who came up with the idea for the reverse battle royal, which was voted the worst worked
match
of 2006.
I want you to
do
this. Put Russian Vids next to the conspiracy horseman.
All right.
Yeah, so they're on one tandem. Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now ask me about Russian Vids. Still, he's on the list.
All right.
Somebody put the funniest thing. He posted a link of a 1994 Newsweek magazine and it had a cartoon in it where the Twin Towers were up and it had two like Arabs driving around in cartoon planes, like driving around flying around the thing, right? And he posted that as like predictive programming.
Right.
Then somebody had posted an article that I retweeted. That article from 1994 Newsweek was a parody article that Newsweek had made, like say, hey, back in 1994, if this is what our issue would have looked like, and they did a parody issue, and Russian Vids used the parody as like it was an actual thing, even though it was fake news.
Right.
It was
then. I think he sent this to you or me or I don't know who it was, but there's a scene from some movie where the guy's saying something like, yeah, well, you know, and had what's this guy's name from Pulp Fiction? Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
And the guy's saying something like, "Yeah, well, you know, the government they'll blow something up and make it look like it was terrorist, and we'll get what we want." And Samuel Jackson was like, "Really?" And I'm like, "So really, no writer could have come up with that fucking idea. It had to be that writer was told by the Illuminati this was going to happen. Put it in a movie so people can somehow know." It's so stupid, bro.
Right. Right.
Plus,
any predictive programming before 9/11 happened, nice. Or you know, that you see the 9/11 in the movie. Can we establish that that's probably referring to 911 when you dial on your phone 911?
1,000%.
Because 911 is a prominent if you think of a three number sequence. Well, if you were on Family Feud,
bro. Listen to this.
Okay, if you were on Family Feud.
Right.
And the question was, name a famous three number sequence.
Right.
Emergency 911. You know, I feel like that approach. Well, like 92%, right? Yeah.
Remember, Paul Lee had a guy call 911. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
He did. It just shit was on. That's right.
Too, right.
That was a great name. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to encourage Russian vids, but you know, there is a promo from 1990. Where Cactus Jack is wrestling for the UWF, and he's coming in and he's going to wrestle Jimmy Snuka or Bob Orton or somebody in New York. And in the promo, he says that they could wreak such destruction in New York that the Twin Towers could come down. So I don't know, Russian Vid, you might want to investigate that one too. That could have been another prediction there.
ECW, is Paul Heyman Illuminati?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, didn't Cyrus admit that he was part of Illuminati?
Yes, he did.
No, the Masons.
The Masons. Yeah. That's kind of the Illuminati. Sure,
is it?
They're somehow tied in. All that bullshit.
Of course they are. Of course.
Anyway, so Pat Simon Diamond came up with the Reverse Battle Royal, worst match of 2006, and the term Watts approved.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with him on the phone the other day. He's trying to tell me how great Notre Dame's going to be. We're going to get him on the show again because he has a lot of fake news that we're going to call him out on about Notre Dame. Right. But yeah, we're going
to
get him on.
And we need to bring Frank Mkhitaryan on.
Yeah. And listen to what a terrible fan he is, right?
Right.
So a couple years ago, Notre Dame, Georgia went to play in Notre Dame, right? And literally they said like Georgia took over like 60% of the stadium. Like the fans came and everything. So you would think when Notre Dame has a receipt and they go back down and play Georgia that the Notre Dame fans would come and hey, let's go. And of course, who's not going to the game?
Pat.
Not, of course not. Yeah, he's a fake. He's a typical fair-weathered fan.
Right.
Like, if Notre Dame stinks this year, you won't hear much of him. You know, what's that Homer Simpson gif where he's in and he disappears in the bushes, you know?
Yeah, right.
He comes back wearing the team shirt and everything after he came in saying, "Oh, they're playing?" Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Marcus Everett.
Kid that went splat?
Yep.
Still the only splat. I did like that spot that Drew McIntyre did on the Cedric Alexander, though.
That was nice. The wheelbarrow thing.
Let me tell you about Cedric Alexander, too. He's trying to do way too much out there. Like, every action he does is he's overselling every body movement and everything.
He's trying to get noticed, though.
He doesn't seem relaxed yet out there.
Yeah.
That's just a constructive criticism to tell the guy to relax, not try to work too – you can work too hard, but don't work too much. Because too much work kind of looks like it's not really work. So I keep going.
So what you're saying probably doesn't look organic the way he's selling, right? Yeah.
Just too much. It's like doing put everything in everybody else. It's too much.
The old sticking 15 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag. That's a deal.
Yeah, but he took a good bump on that thing though. I would have never taken that. That was a recipe for disaster. Did you see that spot he did?
Yeah,
of course I did.
I'm like,
reverse Alabama slam.
I saw the whole fucking show. Yeah. It's very hard. That's a long, long fucking show.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, it's boring. It's like doubly worse.
Yeah.
JoJo, the Creative Control Network, his pro wrestling tea store, his room, and being the co-host of Raven's show.
The drama on his podcast network, feuding with the other podcast networks.
There's no drama. It's a squash match already. They got nothing.
Well, that's very objective. I'm sure they'd say the same thing.
Is it your ultimate goal for your podcast wars to be covered by the Wrestling Observer? Like, if they opened up, the first thing on the Observer was talking about the podcast wars between the Critical between the big feud between Joe Feeney and Dave Radigan.
Yeah. Well, any publicity is good publicity. Although I don't want to be associated with
not
Dave.
Not really. Let me see.
I'm sure you didn't, but did you know that on the Raven Effect this week that Chad Damiani returned to the show in the third as the co-host? So
Interesting. Well, what are they doing with you?
No, he was in temporarily for the week, so he was replacing Rich Bikini, who was in Japan. So it was
You got replaced.
Well, I didn't get replaced. He was just in stepping in for Rich. I was still there.
Oh, you were still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, wait, who's Rich?
Rich Bikini from MLW is the normal third co-host on The Raven Effect.
Hmm.
You should check it out.
No. We saw very unfunny, bro. He put this thing of like some dogs in the back of a truck, and he made some joke that was... Did you think it was funny, Joe? Since you think everything he does is funny.
I don't think I didn't see that one. Let me see here.
Send it to Disco, see if what he thinks. As he's looking, I'll continue. Shark Boy.
Oh, I see it.
Oh, God, he's on the list. He still does premeditated attacks against me, sneak attacks on Twitter.
All right, Mike, real question here. Is there any heat because his son's a homecoming king and was...
Let's do this, Joe. Do you have Shark Boy's contact information?
I have him on Skype.
Call him up. See if he answers. See if he answers on Skype. I want to get him on here.
Is there any extra heat for his son having a Pac-Man suit on?
Well, I'm going to find out. I want to get to the... There's been this... the allegedly winning the homecoming king.
Right.
So I want to confront him on that, whether he...
Plus, you also made the claim that you don't think he could produce any offspring, too, so that there's that.
Oh, man. That's uncalled.
Well, I called him a dumb kid on Twitter. So,
has the kid ever shot back?
No, I don't. No, he has taken shots at me on Twitter. Right. The kid has, you know?
No answer. No answer from Sharkboy.
Did you find that thing from Raven?
Yeah, I sent it. D.I., I sent it in the group text.
Okay, look at that and tell me what you think. And you too, Joe.
I like that.
Truckload of Roddy. Okay, I'm going to say the joke on air, right?
Right.
I'm going to read Raven's joke. A truckload of Roddies, that's Rottweilers. Okay?
Right.
A truckload of Roddies walked into a bar. They asked for a drink, and the bartender figured he'd charge them $30 because they're doggies, and doggies don't know prices. Bartender said to them, "We don't get a lot of Roddies in here," and they said, "Well, at these prices, I can see why."
And Joe continues to put it over.
Yeah, that's is that what you do on that show? Is
that's
like
exactly it, bro.
Correct.
You giggle like that, like you know, like that fake fall laugh every time.
If it's funny,
that wasn't funny.
It was funny.
That's not funny. You thought that was funny?
That rotten bartender was overcharging the dogs.
We get the joke. That's why it wasn't funny.
Jesus Christ!
Then you wonder why I'm.
All right, what else we got?
Guess who's next? Raven and his stand-up comedy.
Oh, boy.
You heard it. It's on the list. That's why it's on the list.
Damn.
Joey DeFalco.
That little prick, he's on the list.
The Burning Man man.
He's on the list. Because somebody posted, you know what? Somebody tweeted, I should have liked it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I look here. Somebody tweeted a picture of the guy.
Oh boy!
Really?
The guy that went to the Burning Man festival and got all effed up on fentanyl and bath salts and shrooms and thought he was the Burning Man, right. And he ran into the bonfire to become right. The Burning Man, but unfortunately he burned to death.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody showed a picture of him. Just looked, and the deal was supposedly he wasn't on drugs.
Right.
So he burned to death. I don't know how you can trace a burnt body to like you know. You figure the drug traces would get burnt,
all right?
And they would disappear like that.
According to our amateur serial killer here,
you see the guy,
Joe? Yeah, we see him.
See him?
Okay.
Where's he here? Let me see. There he is.
We can get to the bottom of this.
Well, according to our amateur serial killer Joe, who's got an unusual fetish for serial killers, he says that you can find out through the spinal fluid.
Yeah, and also his death was apparently ruled a suicide. I mean, what? I mean, did that take an autopsy?
Somebody before?
Maybe somebody threw him in there.
That might have been the guy who was obnoxious and just threw him in. He ran in there. He said he was crazy, something about Allah and Hispanics and Trump, and just ran in there. You know,
right?
Tremendous. Who's the who we got here? Oh, Jay George.
He's on the list.
Mitch Valentine.
He's brutal. He's on the list.
Right. That's the guy that was dating Sonny.
Right. Right.
That's what we brought him. Well, we didn't bring him on the show originally for that. We brought him on because he had heat with Gil. Right.
Yeah,
you know, that's, but now, but now we got buyer's remorse on that.
Yeah. Although he did get buried last week,
so we brought him in just to piss off Gil.
Yeah,
right?
now he's like kind of like, you know, now he like, do you Mitch me, you know, stuff. He sent promos in now. Like now we can't get, yeah.
I thought he'd respond.
We created a monster.
You know, Mike Holder and Jed Frankfurter and Mike Durbin all buried him last week, so I figured we'd get a Mitch Valentine response, but he's just letting these guys get one over on him. So I mean, that's up to him.
Mike Beltran's mustache. The ref from UFC.
This is pathetic. It's disgusting. It's so unprofessional.
Jeff Lane's room.
With all the toys and stuff and everything like crap? Yeah, that's still unless.
We actually had Kleinrock come on here and say he's sure that he plays with his toys.
He did.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah. Well, but it's also good to hear like from another nerd. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Kevin Kleinrock's triple A. Ah, and Errol Lucha.
All that's still on the list. They're all annoying. You know, let me tell you something. We need to start training people. I don't know if being trained like this, but it's really hurting a lot.
Right.
We got to stop slapping the thighs.
Right.
Because the guys that can subtly do it where you never notice it, you know, and they don't do 900 million kicks a match, right. You know, that's fine. But if you are plainly doing it in plain sight, if you can't do it correctly,
right,
without making it look like you're just slapping your thigh for no, you know, it's like we gotta start either teaching people how to do it correctly or just stop doing it. It's just so freaking, I can't stand it. It's aggravating. It looks ridiculous.
They have gone overboard with that.
They've gone overboard. It's absurd.
That's another gift from Mexico that they've just, like a tope that they've just gone overboard with. You know?
You're the first guy.
Here's the thing. If you go to like, okay, if you look at the hard camera, okay, and you're gonna slap your thigh, at least tighten things up where you're doing your right, you're kicking with your right hand and you're slapping the side of your thigh. So, and you're doing it where the hard camera is to your left. So that way we're at least trying to hide the slap. Okay. So think of it under that context when you do it next time, instead of just randomly just slapping the top of your thigh, which looks ridiculous.
Right. And then keep in mind that probably half the guys or more in the match before you did the same thing, and the other half are going to do it, and people are just watching now to catch people.
Right. And I said that'd be good. That would be a good wrestling pay-per-view drinking game. Right. Every time somebody slaps their thigh, you take a shot or do a hit.
And you'd be drunk halfway through the show.
Or in Iran.
Right. Ryan Sandin's girlfriend, Erica Steiner.
They're still on the list. They're fixtures on the list. Right. They might. You know but what we may do one day? At the end of the year, we may have to do a list Hall of Fame. Like a Hall of Fame of people on the list, you know? Who do you think would be like a first ballot
Hall of Famer? I haven't heard much from them in a long time.
Yeah,
Who would be first ballot Hall of Famer on your list, on the disco list?
A first ballot guy? Let me see.
Probably Marcus Edvard would be a first ballot guy. The Burning Man would probably be the first ballot. And probably Ryan Satin, I think, would definitely be a first ballot.
Yeah, I made it a long time without being on the list, too. I made it like a year.
We were being polite.
You know, I've tried to get Ryan back on, you know, especially after the last AEW show and because he was out there covering it. But I'm back to getting the silent treatment from Ryan. So I don't know what
he doesn't like you.
No,
yeah,
he does not like me.
He won't deal with you.
No, we made up. Remember,
you know,
we made up.
You know the schmuck Hughie.
Well, he knows that you were just trying.
The Christmas show.
Did you tell Hughie that we're recording right now? Did you tell Hughie that we're recording?
No.
All right. Why is he trying to hit me up on Skype while we're recording?
Oh, he sees your little green dot there that you're active.
Right, it's ridiculous. I think he's doing 40 attacks. All right.
Independent, New Japan, Mexican, and women's wrestling.
All of those are on the list. They're all brutal, especially the women's wrestling because, like,
you got to give them a chance.
Like, they want to be given a chance, and we're like, going, like, what was the last year? You know, she's right again. Especially that one. And especially, let me tell you something like this. Also, if you walked up to a random person on the streets and said, do you want to learn about the G1 climax? What do you think a random person on the streets would think you were talking about?
Porno.
What would you think, Conan?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what they would think it is.
You know what?
Yeah.
It sounds like a pen.
G1 climax sounds like, you know, we're talking like climax is a sexual term.
Yeah. There's a very good chance that's what they think. Yeah.
G1 climax. Yeah, I just think that's funny.
Those gel pens are called G1 something also, or something like that. So they might be like, oh, the pen?
Well, you know the Japanese ain't afraid to just throw shit around, like war and romance wrestling. Remember that one?
Yeah, war romance, right?
Yeah. Let me see.
I like 01. I thought that was a cool
name. Yeah, I like that.
Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling is an interesting one. FMW.
But they have a lot of wacky shit in Japan. Seth Rollins' knee.
Oof. That's still on the list. Somebody said that.
Start putting his promo.
Put his voice on there.
Somebody tweeted me that they think the reason Seth Rollins blocked me on Twitter is because I put his knee on the list, and I think that happened before we put the knee on the list, though. Yeah.
But did you ever tweet at him, or maybe he just searches for his name?
Oh,
he must just search for his name.
Never did.
That's tremendous.
I bet you know what may have happened is maybe somebody had sent him a tweet I made, and he just blocked me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
WWE Creative.
They're still on the list, even after that show last night. They're on the list, but if they start getting about 3-4 months in a row of the ratings growing up, they may get taken off the list.
Oh, good luck.
X-Pac.
He's still on the list.
He's
at the Raw reunion last night?
He was there.
Bro,
he was,
didn't you see him?
He was with DX.
What did he do?
Hey, we came out with fucking
some crotch
chops. Hall and Nash and
I was cooking and eating and stuff. And while this was going on, I wasn't really paying attention to every single thing that happened. So
yeah, bro, Nash didn't say one word. Hall didn't say one word.
Right,
funny guys on the mic. They just came out there and they just threw up the wolf pack. There was no real big pop because, like I said, they're not really surprises anymore. They just look like regulars at return shows. Every time they have some sort of special show, they're always there.
And the first couple of times, those guys seemed excited. And now this time, they just kind of strolled out. You know,
right.
This is kind of a side note, but it's something I'm curious about. I was just thinking of, RVD was on the show, of course, right? But yet he's under Impact contract. So what we've seen, the companies kind of work with each other before. They actually use a lot of Impact footage on the WWE Network in some of their specials with the Hardys or Kurt Angle or something like that. So do you guys know what the relationship is like there? Is that just, professional courtesy or?
Yeah, I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
RVD's under contract?
Those are the reports, yeah. And Impact even tweeted during Raw, hey, the place you can catch RVD is on Impact Wrestling on whatever.
Bro, this is very simple.
That doesn't mean he's in contract.
This is very, very, very simple. I don't even know this is true.
Right.
But my basic assumption this will be when Jeremy went to work there, they said, hey, they got some good content and footage you guys might want to use.
That's likely.
It's probably that simple that Jeremy said, hey, we got and probably made a phone call. We'd like to use some of the stuff. Bro, because that's all what Jeremy's doing over there is just producing content.
And something? As a fan, that really adds something to an AJ Styles documentary or Kurt Angle or the Hardys to see a lot of the stuff that maybe people didn't see,
Yeah, because, you got Abyss, you got Asad. They took a lot of Impact talent recently.
Dixie Carter's been on WWE Network.
Maybe that was part of the amicable exchange.
Right.
Hey, you can take these guys, everything, but maybe we can start sharing some video footage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Yeah. We'll see.
Let me see the Meltzer rating system
with all the stars and stuff. Everything, brother.
Yeah.
Bro, Meltzer's because they have the G1 climax and supposedly all these matches are fantastic and stuff. I don't know. He's like, Meltzer still is under this thing, because he thinks the matches today are so great that we're in a golden era of professional wrestling, based on his subjective opinion of professional wrestling matches. And I'm like, when we start getting the masses and the arenas start popping huge again and everything, and here in the States, that's when things will change again. That's my opinion. I just think he's wrong.
Well, that doesn't mean the matches aren't great. It could also mean they don't have a lot of superstars, and you need superstars to get your product over, and you need names to get your product over. In the 90s, there were a lot of names that were over to the mainstream audience, whether it was, Chono or fucking, what's Rich this guy's name? Choshu or Tenru or Kawada.
Yeah. Hiroshi Hase.
Shruta. Baba was still around.
Misawa, Kobashi. Yeah. Right. Vader back was big.
Right. Right.
Johnny Ace.
I don't know.
Let me see. What did you say at the end there, Joe, that you laughed at?
Johnny Ace. Johnny Ace was big in all Japan at that time.
Wrong.
The Patriot.
Let me see. So
Johnny Bella?
Yeah. That's
Johnny
Bella,
right?
Yep.
Is that his name? Did he change his name? Or did she change her name?
I doubt she did.
I think their last name's actually Garcia.